All right, this morning we invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 12. And we are continuing our series of messages. And we started out with Paul's instructions to Titus about Titus setting in order those things that are wanting. And so what we have been talking about is the things that are important for us as a church to set in order. The things that are important for the church as we are moving forward. And we have talked about, just recently, we've talked about the importance of the church. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the importance of the doctrinal teaching within the church. And we talked about the importance of the commission for the church. Took a little break last week. But now we want to talk about your importance to the church. How important you are to the church. And we want to set that in order. We cannot think that our membership in the church is unimportant, or our participation in the church is unimportant. Jesus Christ established the church, and He placed us in the church. The Bible tells us that He placed some in the church. First, He set some in the church, verse 28 says, of 1 Corinthians 12. And God has set some in the church. He set you in the church. And so He wants you to be a part of His assembly. He placed you in this assembly. And you're important to it. And we're going to talk about that today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Think about that. The church is the body of Christ, and each member is a member in particular. It's not just a group that has just sort of assembled together on its own. It's a group that Jesus Christ has assembled in this location. A particular member. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that we are important to the Lord, and that we have been placed in the church by Him, and that our membership is important. So today we're going to talk about that. The first thing we want to talk about is that we do want to understand that you are the body of Christ. When Jesus Christ assembled His church and He said, "Upon the gates of and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," we understand that He made an assembly for a purpose. If you remember when we talked a couple of weeks back, we talked about how difficult it would have been for one man to reach the entire world. Jesus couldn't have done that work on His own. And so therefore He took, He called 12 out to be apostles, right? And he took them and He taught them and He trained them and He commissioned them to go to the uttermost parts of the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because He knew that He couldn't do it. And we know that Jesus Christ said that He was going to build His church, and the purpose of building that church is so the church could be trained, so the church could go out and do the work that Jesus Christ could not do, because He had another work to accomplish. Remember, He came to live, and He came to die, and He came to be raised again and to sit down on the right hand of God for our justification. So Jesus Christ, His ministry was limited. And so He wasn't going to be able to continue on forever. The only way that His work could continue on is if He made an assembly, if He made a group to go and to be taught and to learn, and then that group would go out and reach the uttermost parts of the world. So we want to understand, you're the body of Christ at this location. You are the body of Christ at this location. And so we need to understand how important it is for us to function as a body of Christ. And we need to understand that there is work that we are to do, and we talked about that in the commission. I want you to turn now to the book of John, chapter number 14, for just a second. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians, because we will come back there. But in John chapter number 14, Jesus Christ makes an interesting statement to His disciples. In John chapter number 14, in verse number 12, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now think about that. you are going to do greater works than Jesus Christ did while he walked on this earth. Think about the things that Jesus did. Remember that he gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk. He caused the blind to see. He called the deaf to hear. He fed the 5,000. He did many miraculous things. Yet he said, the works that I do, you're going to do greater. How is that possible? How is it possible that we could do greater works than what he has done? Well, the only way that we can do greater works than what he has done would be just in sheer volume, right? Think about the limited amount of people that Jesus could reach. He reached a very small part of the world, right? Over in Israel, in Judea, in Galilee, in those areas, he reached a very limited part of the world. Yet today, the gospel has gone to around the globe. So we understand the works that his people are doing are greater than the works that he did just by the sheer volume of the works that have been done. And Jesus Christ took the work that he had been given by the Father, and he distributed that work to the apostles, and the apostles distributed that work to the church, and now the church has a worldwide reach. Of course, the works are great. But not only that, but think about this. He healed people physically. And he healed people spiritually too. We understand that the works that we do are greater because they are spiritual works. Think about this. What a great work it is when someone who is dead in trespasses and sins hears the word of the gospel and they're raised to walk in newness of life. That dead soul raised again to walk in spiritual life. That is a greater work than just a physical work. When someone whose eyes are blinded to the truth are opened and they're able to see the truth, when their ears are unstopped and they can hear the truth, you see, us performing the work that Jesus Christ has given us to do, the spiritual work is greater than a physical work. And so that's how we accomplish that verse. The spiritual work that we do, because we are doing work that works on the souls, not just physical work. Now, the physical work is important. You go out and you feed the poor and you visit the widows and the fatherless and in their affliction and all those things. Those things are important. But the spiritual work that a church does in teaching the truth and teaching people to obey the truth and helping people to see the truth, that is so important, and we're able to do a greater work because it is a spiritual work that we are doing. So we want to understand that Jesus Christ has a great work for us to do. And we are able to accomplish that. And we need to see that the works that we are doing are greater works than what Jesus did. We need to understand how important it is to share the truth of the gospel with a lost and dying world. To stand holy and blameless in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. To show the world what it means to be like Christ and to walk right like Christ and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That is a huge work, and we need to see how important that is. Listen, anyone can walk according to the flesh, right? Anyone can live like the world lives. Anyone can do what the world does. It takes a great bit of discipline and work to live separate from the world. And so it is a great work that you're accomplishing by walking with Christ, keeping yourself separate from the world, and serving Him faithfully. Think about how dedicated people have to be truly dedicated to the church. I mean, our world is full of people who could care less about coming to church. The people could care less about being dedicated to God. And sometimes, when you're faithfully serving the Lord, it's going to cost you something, either financially, or it's going to cost you time with your family, or it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you something, and you're going to have to make a decision. Listen, I need to be dedicated to God, so I need to do this. I need to go with the church here and to do this or do that. Listen, it's easy to do nothing, right? It's more difficult to say, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to become a member of the church. Isn't it easier not to be a member of the church than it is to be a member? Sure it is. It's easy to just kind of go out there and be your own free agent, doing your own thing and living however you want to. It's more difficult and requires more work and more discipline to be dedicated to a church and to be faithful to follow in it. And so it's going to take discipline. It does take work, but you understand the work that you're doing when you are serving the Lord, it is so important because you're doing the works of God and you are being a light to a lost and dying world. So we need to understand how important your work within the church is. Listen, if you don't do the work that God has designed for us, what happens to it? If you're not faithful to the Lord's church, what happens to the truth? If you don't teach the truth, what happens to the truth? It's not long until it's gone, until the truth fades away. And so we need to understand how important the spiritual work that we do within the church is. So understand, you are the body of Christ, and you're doing the works that Jesus Christ has given you to do. And so you are really the physical presence of Jesus Christ in this world. Right? You are the body of Christ. So you are the physical presence of Jesus Christ in this world because you today are His body. So we need to understand how important that is. Now as we go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 12, we want to understand we are members in particular. We are here because Jesus Christ has set us in the church. God has set us in the church. And our membership is important. If we would read the entire chapter there, go up to verse number 12 and read through verse number 31. What you read as you read that text of Scripture is that Paul is using the example of the body to show the importance of the members. Let's read. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body. Did you get that? God has set the members in the body as it has pleased Him. You're a member because God was pleased to make you a member. Now that's amazing. That's important. We need to understand how important our membership is in the church. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. Notice, God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, the members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So think about this, okay? We are members in particular, and Paul uses the example of the body. Notice what he's saying. First of all, Everyone has a different duty to do. Everyone has a different job. Not everyone can be the hand, and not everyone can be the foot, and not everyone can be the head. But every part is important. The hand can't say, because I'm not the foot, I'm not part of the body. And the foot can't say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body. And the foot can't say, well, we don't need the hand. That hand's unimportant. Or we can't say, well, we don't need our eyes today. Those eyes are unimportant. Every part of the body is important. Think about this. What I was thinking about this today. What if today your colon said, today I'm not going to work. Today I'm going to take a day off. You know, my job, I don't really think it's that important. So today I'm not going to function. How good would your day be if your colon decided not to function? Or let's say, for example, your colon decided to overfunction. Now that would be really bad, wouldn't it? But let's say, for example, that your colon decided not to function. Or let's say your heart might say, today I'm going to take a day off. Or you wake up in the morning and your eyes say, they don't really need me today. I'm really feeling kind of tired and family's coming over. And you know, I'm not going to work today. I'm just going to take a day off. How good would you function that day if your eyes decided to take a day off? Listen, I need my hands, right? I can't function without my hands. I mean, I can, but can I function efficiently without my hands? Not as efficiently as I can with them. My feet, I mean, I can live without my feet and my body can kind of function, but is it going to function as well and as efficiently as it could if I had both of my feet? Every part of my body is important. There are some parts of our body that we have learned through modern technology and whatever that you can lose that part of your body and you can still survive. But will you function properly? You won't. Well, we need to understand how important your part is in the church. You say, well, I'm just a member down there and what I do, it doesn't really matter. Now, wait a minute. Were you set in the church by Jesus Christ? Are you set in the church because it pleased Him? Yes, you were. Is your function as a member of the church important? It is. You are a member in particular. And can you just take a day off because you want to? Will the body function as it should and as efficiently as it could without you? The answer is no. And we need to understand it. That's why we need to encourage people who are saved, they need to be baptized, and they need to be a part of a church. Because they are members in particular, and Christ has set them in the church. And what's really going on, if they are refusing to be members, they're letting down on their job in what Jesus Christ has designed for them and a part that they could be playing within the church. And there's a church somewhere that's not functioning as efficiently as it could if they would become members. And it's not about them. It's about the body as a whole. And we need to understand how important it is to have each member. We're members in a particular. We are set in the church as God has placed us there as it has pleased Him. And we need to understand how important our position is and our membership in the church is. We need to understand how important that is. Again, there's some people who think their membership is not important. And it is. It is so important. I mean, you might think your little pinky finger is not important, but remove it and see what happens. My dad lost those three fingers right there. His three on his, I think it was his left hand. Yeah. His three middle fingers. He still had his thumb and his pinky, but he lost those three fingers in an accident at work. How well did his hand function? It didn't function as well as it could. When he first lost them, they had to make this contraption that he put on his hand. It was a brace that had a hook on it so that he could do his job. He couldn't function very well without it, and his hand wasn't as strong as it once was. He just didn't operate as good as he did before when he lost those three fingers. And you can think, well, losing fingers, that wouldn't be too big a deal. Well, if my dad were still living, you could ask him, Doug, would you rather have your fingers or not have them? Was it a very big deal to you to lose those three fingers? He'd say, that was a huge deal to lose those three fingers. Another guy at the brickyard that lost his arm in a work accident. His name happened to be Doug also. That's Doug. Say, Doug Williams said, you lost your arm in an accident at work. Did it affect you any? Absolutely it did. Steve, his name's Reno. I'm just going to call him Reno. That's Steve Halland was his name. He got a piece of metal in his eye at the brickyard. Reno, did that affect you any to lose your eyesight in that eye? Oh, huge. Listen, your participation in this church is needed. It's God ordained, and we can't function as well as we could if you're not a part of the church. And if you're not active in the church, the church can't do all that it could if you do not take your place inside the church. You are a member in particular. Turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter number 4 real quick, and we'll get off this point. Ephesians 4:16. Here's what it says. From whom the whole body, notice, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the same measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, the whole body, when it is fitly joined together and is able to do that which Jesus Christ has called it to do, it's going to make increase of the body, and the body is going to be able to edify itself in love, build itself up in love, because the members of the church are taking their position and doing what God has called them to do and taking their part. We cannot say there are unimportant members in the church. There's a lot to be said about this, about the uncomely parts. They need to have more abundant comeliness, and we can't say that there are parts that we have no need. We need to remember God had tempered the body together. Why? So there would be no schism. There would be no division in the church. So we need to understand how important it is that God has tempered this body together. He has placed you here to be a part of this body, and you need to be a part. You need to be an active part, because you are so important to the proper functioning of the body of Christ at this location. And if you are not dedicated to that, you are hindering the ability of the body of Christ in this location to do what God has called it to do. And so we all need to understand how important it is for us to be a part so that the church can be built up in love. Now, let's think about this. Let's think about your part in the body of Christ. A good friend of mine by the name of Jason Schultz, who is the dean of the Illinois Baptist College, had some notes on this, and I think they're great notes, and so I'm going to share them with you today. Our duties as a church member, or our part in the body of Christ, the first thing that we want to understand is that we have a responsibility towards God. Okay? We have a responsibility towards God. We have a part to play towards God. First of all, every church member owes God an obedient walk in good works. We owe God an obedient walk in good works. Let's look at Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 17. We're going to look at a few passages of Scripture here. But think about this. God has saved you. All right? God has saved you out of a lost and dying world. Now, does he just want you to kind of go out there and live on your own and be a loner? Or did he design it for you to be a part of an assembly where you can come together and you can work together and you can be built up and you can be loved and you can be encouraged and you can serve him inside that assembly? That's exactly what he's done. So he has saved you and he's called you out of darkness into his glorious light. And so you you owe him an obedient walk in good works. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. So Paul is saying, look, walk after me. Be followers together of me, and not only me, but look at those around you who are walking faithfully, and pay attention to their walk, and walk like them. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, or our way of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to understand, we should be walking after those who are faithful, and our walk should be like a citizen of heaven. How should you live your life? You should live your life like you're a citizen of heaven. Because you have been made a citizen of heaven, we should be walking obediently in our manner of life because we are citizens of heaven. We understand that salvation is not of works, but it's of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. This is Ephesians 2:10, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we understand that our salvation is because of grace, but God has ordained that we walk in good works. Our walk should be obedient work because of the grace of God that He has given us. And then we understand that grace that we are walking in, and we're walking in good works, that's a sign to those around us of the light that is in us. We're taking our lighting and we're setting it up on a hill. We're not putting it underneath a bushel where it can't be seen, but we're setting it up on a hill where it can be seen. It is our good works, that they by your good works, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So every church member has a duty to walk obediently towards God because He has saved you by His marvelous grace. Secondly, we understand that we have a responsibility for exercising our spiritual gifts. For exercising our spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and this is which we already looked at 1 Corinthians 12, but let's read verses 4 through 7. And it says this: Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is giving to every man to profit with all. God has gifted you with a certain amount of spiritual gifts. It's your responsibility to find out what those are. But He has gifted you with what this body needs to function properly. There are things that you have that are important to this church. Maybe no one else has. Or maybe few of them have. And we need that because it helps us function properly. Let me give you a small example of that. Okay? There are people in here that are friendly. There are people in here that loves to greet visitors. But they don't have the ability to stand and be a pastor. Then you have a pastor who is not as friendly with other people, right? He's not going to stand in the back, and you know he's going to sit on the front pew. That's just me. That's just my personality. Kim calls me a wallflower. Whatever. I try to be better about it, but I just find my way to the front pew. I can stand up here and preach, but I'm not very good at meeting people and that type of thing. I'm better than I used to be, but. There are people who will make others feel comfortable and feel welcome and all of that. They can't preach, but they can do that. And I can't do that, but I can preach. So, see, you can't say that what they're doing is not important, because it is. It helps us function as a church, see? There are many things that we could talk about. But whatever gift God has given you, whatever ability He has given you, you need to utilize that for the body, so the body will be built up. Some of you need to find out what those things are, and then you need to utilize them. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 4, and we'll look at that real quick. for just a minute. This is a huge lesson, and I'm trying to condense it as quickly as I can. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verses 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, you've received the gift, then use it to minister within the church and to serve others. You have a responsibility of God, to God, to use the gifts that He has given you. Some of you it is to sing. Some of you it is to play. Some of you it is to teach. Some of you it is to visit. Some of you it is to give. I don't know what those spiritual gifts are, but whatever they are, you need to utilize them. And really you have a duty and a responsibility to use them, because remember, God has set some in the church. He has tempered the body together, and He's not going to make us all hands. He's not going to make us all pastors. Your part, whatever your part is, it's important to the proper functioning of the body. Let's remember that. And if the hand is trying to do what the foot does, it's not good, right? And if the heart's trying to do what the lung does, it's not good. You do your part so that we can function together as a body. Use your gift, whatever Jesus Christ has given you, so that this body, which has been tempered together by God, can properly function and do the work that God has called us to do. Every member should express thankfulness to God. Listen, in everything we need to give thanks. In everything that we have, we need to give thanks. And also we need to understand how important it is for us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're right there at 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 8. I think that's right. 18, sorry. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It's important for you to grow. How are you going to grow in knowledge? Well, here's how you're going to grow in knowledge. We have something called Sunday school. You grow in knowledge by coming to Sunday school. We have something called Sunday morning service. You grow in knowledge by coming to Sunday morning service. We have something called a Sunday night service. You grow in knowledge by coming to Sunday night service. Right now, you could know we just taught a series about looking for end things, or looking into end things, or signs of end things. You could know what's going on in the world today and know what to look forward to. If you have been here the last few Sunday nights, you would have knowledge about what's going on in this world right now. But if you missed it because you chose not to come, you haven't grown in that area. We've been talking on Wednesday night about prayer. We have Wednesday night prayer, and we're studying prayer right now. Your knowledge of prayer and how to pray could be growing right now if you would come on Wednesday night. But every time you miss, you're just missing out on growing in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's hindering your ability to be drawn nearer to Christ. Every time you miss, you're not growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you could grow in grace. Last Monday, it might have been Tuesday, I don't remember which day it was, that I took that food to the boy. By the way, the church has done great. I'm so pleased. The mission is so happy with all that we've been giving them and helping them and that family that we helped, you know, and all the help that we have done recently. It's just been a huge thing, and people have given and given and given to that. But you know, there was something for me just taking that and giving it to the boy and then just coming away. It allowed me to grow in grace. It's one thing to give to someone else so that they can do the work, and then it's something else entirely for you to actually take part in the work. It helps you to grow in grace and an understanding of the grace of God. you're allowed to God opens your eyes when you're actually physically taking part in the work. God opens your eyes and God speaks grace into your heart. There's something about it, and you miss out on that. If you don't come and participate, there's just something you miss out on by not being there. So grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have a responsibility to God because He has saved you to be an active part of the church. Now, we have some duties to one another also. We have some duties to each other. We have focused on this. We have the duty to love one another, and we have tried to focus on this so much. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have changed our Wednesday night service, and really it came from this. It's been a couple of years ago now where we have really started, we really was trying to focus on bearing one another's burdens. And if you remember, if you go back, we talked about how can you bear one another's burdens if you don't know what those are. And so we tried to develop a way that we could share what was on our hearts so that we could bear each other's burdens, so we would really know what's going on in people's lives, so that we could really help them and not just say, oh, brother, I care about you, or oh, brother, I love you, or oh, I'm praying for you, whatever. No, that it would be a real active part, that it would be real and not just in, we would not just love in word only, but in deed and truth. And we have really tried to do that. And by the way, this Sunday night birthday celebration is one of the key things to that. Beginning that fellowship, just getting together and hanging out and fellowshipping with one another, that is so vital to bearing one another's burdens. If you miss out on that, you're missing out on a huge part of the fellowship within the church. And you're missing out on something that is critical and vital for you. I can't twist your arm and make you come. But if you don't come, if you blow it off and you miss it, you're missing out on something that I truly believe is critical to your spiritual growth. You say, well, you're just going to go eating cake and ice cream and tater chips and whatever else anybody brings. I know it's not about the cake and the ice cream. It's about being together and fellowshipping together and talking with one another, learning more about one another, growing together. It's so important. I can't tell you. It's just like inside the family. One of the things that people says that has broken down in our families is families missing eating meals together, right? The breakdown of the family started when families stopped eating meals together. Well, it's the same thing. A church breaks down. If the church doesn't have fellowship, a church is going to break down. I can't explain to you how important it is. But bear you one another's burden. That begins by loving one another. Love desires and actively seeks the best for its objects, even at great personal cost. And it's going to demand a self-sacrifice. But we need to do it. We know this also, that when you love one another, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love one for another. It's a testimony to Jesus Christ and His love for us when we love one another. It's a commandment, but it's a testimony. It requires discipleship for you to love someone else, right? It requires you to discipline yourself to love someone else. But we need to do it. We need to love one another. And it's your responsibility as a member of the church to love the other members of this church. Also, let's turn to this one, Ephesians chapter number 4. We love by promoting unity. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Do you know that it takes work to maintain unity, to promote unity, to keep the unity, endeavoring to keep the unity? you know it's so much easier not to work to keep unity? To keep unity is going to be hard work. Think about this. How much easier is it to do this? Well, I don't like what you said. That's easy, right? But how easy is it to go to your wife or your spouse or you say, you know what, we got a misunderstanding about this and we need to sit down and we need to talk about this? Or how hard is it to say in your heart, I know they're wrong, I know they hurt me, and I know I'm right on this, but for the sake of unity, I'm going to take the wrong. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go and apologize to them. They don't deserve an apology because I wasn't wrong. But I'm going to apologize to them just because I want to keep the unity. That's hard work. That's easy to get mad and go slam the door and go to your room and say, I'm out of here. That's easy. But it takes work to maintain unity. That's why the author of this epistle says, endeavoring to keep the unity. It takes work. In your family, I'm going to chase a little bit of a rabbit. But listen, in your family, you need to pay attention to unity and peace inside your family. And sometimes you need to take the wrong. Sometimes you need to apologize when an apology isn't necessary. Sometimes you need to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you need to do something that you don't really want to do just to keep the peace. And the same thing is true inside the church. It's easy to say, well, I don't like what they're doing, so I'm just not going to go. I mean, that's easy. It's easy to say, well, I don't think what I'm doing is important, so I'm just not going to go. That's easy. The hard thing to do is to say, you know what? I don't like what they're doing, but it's important for me to be there because I'm a member of the body, and so I'm going to do it anyway. Right? That's going to take work. It's going to require you to be disciplined. It's going to require you to make a sacrifice for the benefit of the whole. You have a responsibility as a member of the church to endeavor to keep the unity of peace. It's easy to be divisive. It's easy to be angry. It's easy to complain. It's harder to work for peace and to take the wrong and try to keep the unity and to try to make things good. It's going to require you to give of yourself. A small example of that. Listen, I'm coughing right now, but if it was about 65 degrees in here, I probably wouldn't be coughing. I got on a coat, and I'm sweating the reason that I'm coughing so badly. If it was cooler in here, I probably wouldn't be. You think it would be easier for me to have the temperature of the lower temperature so I wouldn't cough? Absolutely. Why do I do it? Why do I keep the temperature where I do? Because there's more people in this church than me, right? And so I try to make it for everybody to be comfortable somewhat. Some people are going to be cold. Some people are going to be hot. There'll be a few people right in the middle. But we try to do what's the best for everybody, right? That's just a small example of what you do to keep the peace, right? To keep unity. And if the body is divided, how well can it function? If you took a big axe, a big hacksaw, a big bandsaw, it'd have to be a big one. But if you do that, cut me right down the middle, how well would I function as a body? I wouldn't function at all. And if we took a big bandsaw and run it right down the middle of this church, and we had a division inside the church, right down the middle of the church, how well could the church function? And if you have each little individual person out here wanting to do their own thing and having to have it their own way, how could the church function? If you have all these little pockets of people wanting to do their own things, you couldn't. But when all the people come together with desiring of unity for the betterment of the whole, for the body of Christ, so the body of Christ can function and do the work that He's called it to do, now we can function because we are endeavoring to keep the unity and the bond of peace. And so we need to understand how important it is to endeavor to keep the bond of peace so that we can do the work of the ministry. Oh, there's many things to say, but for sake of time, I got to quit right there. The scripture says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need to understand this. A body cannot function without its members. We cannot function properly without you. Without your active participation in this body, we cannot function properly without you. We need you. If you're not a member of this church, we need you to be. If you are a member of this church, we need you to function as a member of the church, taking your position in what God has given you and utilizing it for the unity of the body and for the functioning of the body so the body can be built up and can function as God has designed it. Because remember, we've got great works to do. Greater than Jesus did, we have great works to do. So we need to understand your importance. One of the things that we need to set in order, and one of the things I think we have forgotten through the years, is the importance of the individual member of the body of Christ so that we can do the work that Jesus Christ has called us to do. I pray the Lord has used this message to stir your heart to see how important you are as a member of this body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the truths that we find in your word. Help us to live according to them so that we can function properly and do the work that you've called us to do. We thank you for the truth and pray that you'll help us to live according to the truth. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, the gift of eternal life that we have through him. Just help us to serve you because we understand the gift of eternal life that we have in Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and turn to